The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wind and moan boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Yep, we're on the air.
Welcome to the show, folks. And you are tuned into the Trump phenomenon here on May 5th, 2017. Welcome to the show. And this is a live show. Of course, you can call at 800-313-9443. And tonight we've got a special guest. Ayla Stewart is with us from the great state of Utah. Ayla, thank you for being with us. Oh, okay. Hi, Ayla Stewart's with us, folks, from Utah. And Ayla, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, you're quite welcome. And the folks, the chairman of the American Freedom Party, William Daniel Johnson, how did he run into you, Ayla? How did you two meet?
Oh, well, I am friends with his nephew, but we hadn't met that way. I was recently written about in a couple of newspapers, and I think that he had heard like a little bit about me kind of just like online before, but when I was written about recently, about a month ago, he went and checked out my blog and my Twitter and a few things like that and really liked what he read, and so that's kind of how he got directly in touch with me for the first time.
Well, very good. And share with the audience, if you will, the story of, you know, the recent interesting happenings that you've been involved with concerning the Patriot cause. Give the folks just a little sketch of what you've done. It's very interesting.
The recent the newspaper article, or like,
yes,
or like more broad. Okay, yeah. So
well, take it where you want to go.
Okay, well, yeah, I'll talk about that controversy. So I'm a housewife and a mom of six kids and a homeschooling mom, and I'm also a breastfeeding mom. So because I'm nursing my baby often, I am sitting in a rocking chair nursing, and I have so I've got time to spend on social media, and I have built up quite a little Twitter following for what that's worth, and started blogging a little bit, but I hadn't been blogging very much, just maybe once a month. I didn't have a lot of time for it. I'm a member of the LDS Church. And the first thing that happened was that I had heard about this singer named James the Mormon, who was a rapper. And I had heard about him about a year and a half ago. But because I don't really like rap music, whether it's Christian or otherwise, I didn't really pay much attention to him other than to think, oh, you know, that's interesting. And then I had seen that he was going to be, I guess he was going to be at a church function in my area of Utah. And I thought, wow, the church is kind of, you know, endorsing this guy. He's not just a Mormon who's rapping. He's now, you know, performing at church functions. And my son was just about the age to go to this function. And so, like any good mom, I decided I need to, you know, look into this and see what kind of musical performance my son was going to see or hear. And I didn't see anything, you know, particularly wrong as far as James's lyrics or any of that. But I was really surprised when I took a look at his videos that there was a lot of immodesty in his videos, people not wearing shirts and so forth. And for those who aren't familiar with the LDS Church, we have some pretty strict modesty standards, and those are actually covenants we make with God. Those are actually promises we make to God to wear garments and to keep parts of our body covered. So I was quite surprised. It wasn't just a cultural norm he was breaking, but actually a church standard by having those images in his video. So I hopped on over to his Twitter feed, because that's what I'm most familiar with is Twitter. And I just noticed a lot of inconsistencies. He was, in what I thought would be appropriate for church standards, he was tweeting out Beyonce. He was tweeting about lowering the modesty standards for church. He was tweeting in support of Black Lives Matter. And not only in support of Black Lives Matter, but there was actually a tweet where a white man, after Trump had been elected, a white man was dragged, a video of a white man being dragged from his car was passed around the internet, and he was being beaten by black people, and they were saying, you know, you Trump voter, you know, you stupid white person, and this sort of thing. And James had retweeted it saying, well, we need to end this racial tension, and both sides need to look at what they're doing wrong. And I thought,
well, now,
Ayla,
yeah,
no, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Ava. So now, share with the audience how this led to the action that you took, that then, which of course is much more interesting than this guy.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
I can understand how he offended you. He offended you, but now you've offended the lamestream media by saying a few things, a few common sense things. So share with the audience the sort of thing that you put out that got the media all in a. All in a frenzy.
In a tizzy. Yes. So after I looked at these things, I went ahead and wrote this really quick blog post about why I didn't feel that this guy's character matched the church standards, at least not what he was presenting online. Although I was very clear to say I'm sure that he's a very nice person and he's not doing anything purposefully or, you know, anything like that. He's not a bad person. I just don't think this matches our standards. And so immediately, because I was saying that rap culture was degenerate, that it wasn't good, that it wasn't a positive influence, and here's an example as to why, I was just, you know, called a racist. What ended up happening is James himself found out about the article that I put on my blog, and which I had like 5 readers, and then he retweeted it. And so then it got passed around within the Mormon community. And so I was first called racist and all of that in the Mormon community for not liking rap, for not liking rap culture and that sort of thing. And I was accused of hating all black people and all of these ridiculous things. And then about a week later, Senator Steve King had said, he had tweeted out that you can't restore civilization with someone else's babies. And it was a very controversial tweet, and everyone was calling him racist and white supremacist and this sort of thing. So I half-jokingly tweeted out a tweet because I have 6 children. I said, well, you know, I'm issuing a white baby challenge. You know, I have 6. Match or beat me. And I thought it was pretty obvious that it was a tongue-in-cheek, you know, joking tweet about racial demographics and how whites, you know, worldwide are at not a replacement birth rate level. And I thought it was obviously in a joking manner. You know, I didn't think anyone would actually literally conceive a child based on a tweet. And so the mainstream press picked up on that tweet. That tweet kind of went viral, as they call. And so what ended up happening was the mainstream press went back and saw this thing I had done a week ago about the rap music and conflated the two and presented that as... I was telling white people to have more babies in order to breed out black people to stop rap music. Which
well,
is like
exactly. Yeah,
so
no, this
ridiculous.
Is what the media. Yes, well, and see now, Ava, you're a great example, you know, from the you know, from out in the field of how things, the great effect, you know, the Trump effect or the Trump phenomenon, saying things. Like what you said, that, you know, white people, we ought to have more babies. That's just mm-hmm. common sense. And Donald Trump, which is very politically incorrect, and Donald Trump, this is the great gift that he's given us, is that he, one of them, is that he has made it possible for us to say things, politically incorrect things, and to get a much much wider audience and a much greater acceptance for those things. So your message, Ayla, that white folks ought to be endeavoring to have babies, you know, it's quite serious for you. You know, it's actually not, you know, it's not a humorous thing. It's a serious thing that you've obviously taken very seriously with your life. And by the way, congratulations and congratulations on this. You know, is there any more magnificent achievement than to be the mother of 6 children? You know, hard to imagine something more magnificent. And congratulations on your little baby that's with you right there. How old is your baby?
He's just turned 4 months.
Oh, well, wonderful. And you know what we're, you know, one of the great things about the Trump phenomenon is that the things that we have, as patriots, have been trying to do, for instance, the standards that you've been trying to uphold and the culture that you've been trying to preserve, instead of Donald Trump has made it much, much easier for us to do this. And we've got examples of that in the last 24 hours. Donald Trump was on the deck of the USS Intrepid, an aircraft carrier, commemorating the Battle of the Coral Sea with the Prime Minister of Australia. He also gave his weekly message, which he's been giving to us every week. And Ayla, would you mind if I just, for the audience, just give them a couple of seconds of Donald Trump's message? And let me get to it here. And let's all just listen to it just for a bit. And one of the great things that Trump does, it really fits this short show. We only have an hour, is that his messages are short. This is only 4 minutes long. Here he is, our president today, my fellow Americans. Here it comes.
My fellow Americans, since day one, my administration has been hard at work tearing down the barriers to job creation and economic growth. We have removed one job-killing regulation after another. They're not pretty, and they're going. And believe me, we are just getting started on regulations. They're gone. On Thursday, the House voted to repeal one of the worst job-killing laws of all. It's called Obamacare. Perhaps you've heard of it. Everywhere we look, Obamacare is collapsing. The House bill is a plan that will save Americans from this disaster and replace it with more choices and more freedom for American families. Most importantly, it will be great health care, and your premiums will come down and your deductibles will come down. So you'll have better health care at a lower cost. And now I'm calling on the Senate to take action. Repealing and replacing Obamacare will be a big, big win for the American people. Last week, my economic team outlined another step in our economic renewal, a massive tax cut to bring jobs and prosperity back to the USA. We pay the highest taxes anywhere in the world. No country is higher, and we're bringing them down, and I mean way down. I'm proposing, actually, the single largest tax cut in American history. Our tax relief will be focused on the middle class, including much-needed relief for low- and middle-income parents raising children. As we provide tax relief for working families, we must also stop crippling American industry. Right now, America's businesses are taxed at the single highest rate in the developed world. This is a self-inflicted economic wound that sends jobs to other countries. And believe me, before I got here, they were fleeing fast, but we've stopped it. We want to turn our country into a jobs machine, a jobs magnet, something that really works again. We want America to be the best place in the world to hire, grow, invest, and start a brand new, beautiful business. And that is why, under our plan, we are cutting the business tax rate all the way down to 15%, bringing thousands of new companies and millions of new jobs to our shores. Today's high taxes on American business are a gift to the foreign countries taking our jobs, factories, and wealth, and we're not going to allow it any longer. Along with our historic tax cut, we are proposing dramatic tax simplification. American taxpayers spend billions of hours each year complying with our archaic tax laws, reducing economic productivity and job creation. The complexity of the tax code also disadvantages small businesses and family-owned companies who can't afford to hire an army of lawyers. And that's what it is. It's an army of lawyers and lobbyists or accountants. Other people can do it. You can't, and it's not fair to ask you to even think about it. That is why we are cleaning up the code, streamlining deductions, and eliminating many special interest tax breaks that largely benefit only the wealthy. Just weeks ago, millions of Americans filed their taxes on tax day. They were reminded again how much they give to Washington. We believe everyday Americans know better how to spend their own money than the federal bureaucracy, and we want to help them keep as much of that hard-earned money as we can. Tax reform, along with regulatory relief and fair trade deals, and we're going to make them fair, but even really good again for our country and for our workers, all of this will usher in a new era of prosperity in America and bring wealth, hope, and opportunity to those communities that need it the most. Together, we are going to fight for every last American job, and we are going to fight for great, great trade deals that are so good for our workers and so good for our families. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
There you go, Ayla. He did all of that in 4 minutes, and he gives us that message every week. And he's done something, Ayla. Now, has there been an effort to censor your message that white folks, you know, it's a good idea to have some babies?
Oh, definitely, yes. Well, it's a message I've been tweeting about for a while now, and definitely any kind of, you know, people report, you know, my tweets, my messages, my blogs. I've not been able, well, I should say, I think the longest I've had a Facebook page up has been, you know, a couple of weeks at the most before they take that down.
They're actually knocking your pages out.
Yes, they take okay. it out. They attack me at any angle that they can to stop my message, for sure.
Well, now let me, I want to tie you again to President Trump, and this time even more directly. Lara Trump, who is working in the Trump administration, has objected. This is a news story today. And some of you may have seen this if you're on YouTube or something. You've seen a 30-second Donald Trump ad, just 30 seconds long, so I'm going to play it for you. It's actually been refused by NBC, CBS, CNN, and their excuse. Now, this is amazing. This is an ad being run by the President of the United States, and what he's trying to do with this 30-second ad is cut through all the media blockade and go directly from his lips to our ears, directly from our president to our living rooms. And if I may, Ayla, I'm going to present this because he's being censored the same way you are. He's the president of the United States, and he's offering them money. They need money. They're going bankrupt. He's offering them money to run a 30-second commercial. Listen to this very common sense, beautiful 30-second commercial. I'll play it right now for our audience. Some of you may have already seen this. Here he is, the president in 30 seconds.
Donald Trump, sworn in as president 100 days ago. America has rarely seen such success. A respected Supreme Court justice, confirmed. Companies investing in American jobs again. America becoming more energy independent. Regulations that kill American jobs, eliminated. The biggest tax cut plan in history. You wouldn't know it from watching the news. America is winning, and President Trump is making America great again.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Can you believe it? That's not okay.
It's amazing. It's such a simple message.
Yeah, that's not okay. And the part that the media really is having the biggest trouble with, you didn't get to hear, because in the middle of it, discussing how the media is attacking Donald Trump, he says it says in the ad, you didn't hear this from the media. And then there's a big banner across the middle of the page that says, over the faces of the media, talking heads, fake news. And so they don't want that out there, that Donald Trump, and he's the man who's done this, has called them fake news. And the social media, Ayla, that you're on, our guest folks is Ayla Stewart in southern Utah, who's a mom of six with her little, four-month-old?
Yes, he's 4 months old. Uh-huh.
Her little 4 month old right now. I hope enjoying the show. And if your baby starts crying, I'll quiet down a little bit. She is being in the same way that the media are fake, Ayla. The social media are fake. They're claiming that you have a free voice and that you can speak your mind say completely, you know, just as Donald Trump's statements a moment ago, they were just common sense. And your statement that, you know, white folks, come on, you know, have some more kids. Don't let all the difficulties the government throws in your way deter you from having those kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're being censored on social media and you're a racist simply because you're proud to be a mom and you hope others will do the same.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's the narrative that they want to push, and they want to control that, even though Twitter will then go to their board and bill themselves as a utility. They'll say, we're almost like a public utility, they'll say, and then they turn around and then they censor in that way. And I understand companies having, you know, the right to determine their own protocols when it comes to their users, but you can't call yourself a utility to your board and to your shareholders and then turn around and then commit the types of censorship that
you've got it, Ayla. Now we've got a break coming up. Stay with us for Ayla Stewart. We'll be right back, folks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822, that's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts.
Wish a buck was still silver. It was back when the country was strong. Back before Elvis and before the Vietnam War came along. Before the Beatles and yesterday, when a man could still work, still.
We're back, folks. You're tuned into the Trump phenomenon. And,
best of the free life.
Ayla, don't you love that Merle Haggard music?
Oh, my goodness, I really do. It reminds me of my childhood. My dad used to listen to that sort of music.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we lost Merle Haggard not too long ago, and died out there in California. And you mentioned Steve King, Congressman Steve King from the 4th District of Iowa, and he said something very common sense. He says, let me see if I can find it. He says, he was on NBC, MSNBC actually defending his comment where he said, we can't, you know, we can't survive by raising other people's children. And he said, let's see, he says, this whole old white people business does get a little tired. I'd ask you to go back through history and figure out where are these contributions that have been made by these other categories of people that you were talking about? Where did any other subgroup of people contribute more to civilization? Whoa, that one of the panel members who was on this panel said to him, this is in-my-face racism.
Oh, my goodness.
And then he says, anyway, so it's refreshing. You see, we're getting people who are voicing common sense, like your ideas. They are getting a hurricane of opposition and freak out from the left. But we're actually getting heard now, so that you're being heard. You're on a radio station now, and your tweets, they can ban you, but you can just start new accounts, and people are listening to Ayla Stewart. And, you know, we can really, I think, thank first and foremost Donald Trump for breaking this path, breaking through this barrier of political correctness.
Yes, definitely. He's the guy in the front of the line with the machete hacking through the jungle and clearing a path for all of us to be able to come behind and spread some more truth. And the irony is I love when they write about somebody like me in the paper and, you know, I'll see one of these articles about me posted on Facebook or something. And you know, 4 out of every 5 comments, people are saying, well, wait a minute. What's wrong with what she said? What's wrong with not liking rap culture? Well, what's wrong with making white babies? How is that? None of that is racist. None of that is wrong. And it's showing people just the extents that they'll go to try to, you know, shut up the opposition that these, the liberal press is doing. And it just makes them look ridiculous when they're targeting, a homemaker with a Twitter account from Utah, you know, and touting me as the, you know, the poster girl of racism because I don't like rap culture or I like having white babies. People just look at that and normal people are starting to go, yeah, that's pretty ridiculous at this point. That's not actually racism.
Yeah. And another thing that you're doing, and you personify it, Ayla, in your voice, in your presence, is that you are very optimistic and you're having fun, and your attitudes towards your enemies and your detractors is good natured, and you're laughing, and that is so persuasive to people that You know, this shift in tone has occurred again. You know, giving credit here to Donald Trump, he has you know, he's made it funny and humorous, and he's been so effective in getting people to laugh at political correctness.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I loved during the campaign just watching all of his rallies and just and watching him work the media the way that he did. And I have to say that I credit a lot of how I've reacted to what's happened to me, you know, on this very small level, to people like Trump first and foremost, and then other people like Ann Coulter who get attacked for similar reasons. And the way that they handle it and the way that they handle the media. And so when it happened to me on my smaller scale in my little neck of the woods, I said, well, why get upset about this? You know, why not have fun with it? And, you know, the way someone like Trump would do. And so he was a marvelous example for me. And for the past almost 2 years now that it's been since he announced his campaign. So I really appreciate that.
Well, now, Ayla Stewart is our guest, and we were just joined, Ayla, by an extraordinary patriot in Canada. I don't know if you're familiar with his work, Paul Fromm. Paul, welcome to the show, and it's extraordinary to welcome you from Japan.
Yes, and I'm sorry, due to circumstances with the cleaning of my room, I wasn't able to get in at the top of the hour, but anyway, I'm glad to be here.
Well, you know, we look forward to your return, but hoping that you've got a update for us on things you've observed in Japan. Well, let me ask you this first. Have you been to Japan previously?
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay. And are you like, you know, one of the folks who was very first to realize that Trump was a wonderful opening for patriots was Mr. Jared Taylor, who is the founder of American Renaissance, which you can find at amren.com. And Jared is fluent in Japanese. I believe he was born in Japan, wasn't he, Paul?
Yes, he was born a Presbyterian missionaries in Japan, yes. So, and of course, he earns his living as a very much in-demand translator, I believe largely in court cases. So,
one of the founders of the American Freedom Party, William Daniel Johnson, did his LDS mission work in Japan. Did you know that, Ayla?
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. That's awesome.
Yes. And of course, Japan, a great ally of America, and Shinzo Abe, the leader of Japan, a recent guest, playing golf with Donald Trump. And on one of Trump's courses there in Florida. And today, Donald Trump was with Malcolm Turnbull, the Prime Minister of Australia. And this was a wonderful, wonderful event. Again, Donald Trump doing, you know, sort of the unthinkable that previous presidents wouldn't have done. He was celebrating on the 75th anniversary, the Battle of the Coral Sea, on board the USS Intrepid, right there in the Hudson River in New York. With Malcolm Turnbull, and this extremely important, very smart on the part of Donald Trump, knowing his history, that in May of 1942, when the Japanese were met by two Japanese carriers, were met at a distance by two American carriers that then fought the first air duel between carriers, and this shortly after Pearl Harbor, and the Japanese, they thought they had us on our back. Not the Japanese people, really, just the evil people of the Japanese Empire, thought they had us on the on our backs. And the American flyers fought the Japanese to a standstill. And this was a strategic catastrophe for Japan because that Japanese fleet, its mission was to take Port Moresby in New Guinea as the jump-off point to actually overrun our cousins in Australia. And that really would have changed the war in the Pacific, Paul.
Oh, radically so, yeah. well, one of the...
Oh, and Paul, you know what Trump did today as part of his speech? He read a tribute to an American flyer who he sank one of the carriers. And then he came back onto his carrier, I think it was the Lexington, and he met with the pilots and he said, "Look, fellas, the only way we can sink these ships is you're going to have to fly your torpedo bomber or your bomber right up close to the deck. You're going to have to fly right into the teeth of the lead and let go of your bomb at the last second,
and then pull out.
And he did that. He urged the other flyers to do it. This is just raw American courage, folks. And he did that. He attacked the second Japanese carrier after the first was sunk this way. And he did. He got his bomb off onto the deck of the second carrier, but he himself was blown to smithereens by his own bomb. So Donald Trump read that veteran of the Naval Academy, read his letter to his dad, very moving, very emotional. And Donald Trump just showing this incredible knack for communication, for patriotism, for being proud of what, you know, our fighting men have done. And then sharing that tremendous connection with the Australians. And then he gave a great tribute, Paul, which had tremendous racial overtones. He said, you know, we and the Australians, we're really brothers. We really belong together as nations. And then he had I don't think I'll be able to find the quote, but he said of Australia and America, and you'll appreciate this as a Commonwealth man yourself. He said, let me find it. Oh, can I find it fast enough? He said something great. He said, America and Australia, we're really natural partners. We're the rebellious children of the same parent. And he said, I know a lot about rebellious children.
I bet he does.
So it was great, folks. And of course, the Australians, folks, and the Canadians didn't. Of course, you Aussies or the Aussies are incredibly independent minded, but. The Aussies got their independence in 1901, and Canada had a natural evolution to independence, didn't require a revolution. That's why the Queen is still on the coins. Yeah. And but the interesting thing, when Donald Trump said that, you know, we're brothers and that we are natural partners, it you can't help thinking when he talks about Australian independence, that occurred, folks, on January 1st, 1901, and the very first act of the first Australian Parliament was to initiate something called the White Australia Policy.
That's right.
And that was the law when the Battle of the Coral Sea took place, folks, in May of 1942. The law in Australia, let's see, that would now have been for 40 years, had been officially the White Australia Policy, which made it very explicit that we intend to keep our great nation as it is a European nation. And this was not considered politically incorrect at all. People from all the different parties in Australia endorsed this. Paul, your comment?
Yeah, you know, the chief proponents of the White Australia Policy were the Labour Party, which, you know, as in England, were even mildly socialist, trade union, rough, tough Australian working man. And they were among the last holdouts when the mood changed. And the mood changed, very interestingly, 1 year after the catastrophic change in America's immigration policy in 1965, which was the same year Canada's immigration policy changed, and the White Australia policy fell the next year. Common currency right across the political spectrum in Australia, from the conservative right, although they were actually called the Liberal Party, but they were more conservative, and to the left, as it was in the United States and Canada. And as Dr. Kevin MacDonald has pointed out in his book, The Culture of Critique, when people ask themselves, well, why was it changed? Or were, you know, was there all sorts of demand? People in the streets rioting and saying, "No, we're just sick and tired of being European. We, we want to welcome in the whole world. No, and of course, that didn't happen in Australia or in Canada or the United States. It was largely people implementing the Jewish agenda. Then, you know, for a variety of reasons, they don't like us. They don't want us to be coherent and strong. They want multiculturalism, multiracialism for us, and, you know, an all-Jewish state for Israel. You know, it's utter hypocrisy, but by this time they had sufficiently corrupted elements of the political class in Australia and in the United States and Canada. There were a few Labour holdouts in Australia. The people never wanted an end to the policy, but you know, as we know in both Canada and the United States, the people don't necessarily get what they want. They get what they're told they should want.
Right, and this is the significance of the Trump revolution, is that for the first time in our lifetimes, folks, we got what we wanted. And the Paul mentions it was a common currency in Australia, the White Australia policy. We had exactly the same thing here in America. My 10th cousin, my actual cousin, Madison Grant, was the very famous, very prominent in intellectual circles when Europeans, white Europeans, still ran the universities. From his base in New York City, he wrote the Quota Act of 1920 and the Immigration Act of 1924, signed by pro-European Calvin Coolidge. And this was wonderful law, very much completely akin to the White Australia policy. It was an explicitly an immigration law that stood in place till 1965 definitively said, we're a European nation, and in order to stay that way, we are going to let in Europeans are the people that we're going to allow in a quota system to enter America, and not others. We're going to keep America the European nation set up by, as you term them in the Canadian context, Paul, the founder settler European people.
And, you know, it was such a wise policy. The Immigration Act of 1924 could actually serve as a model for immigration reform today in Canada or the United States. It's basically has two premises. Number one, immigration intake will match our labor needs, if any. And I would underline, if any. But so now you start, your first test is, well, do we need... Are we short on workers? Well, probably we're not. But okay, if the answer is yes, well then, how many do we need? So okay, we set that quota. Let's say, for argument's sake, we need 100,000. Then the second quota comes in. We're not going to bring in people in proportions that are going to upset the ethnic balance, which means we're not going to bring in, let's say, 90,000 Haitians. And, you know, for all the guilt and hand-wringing and angst and accusations of racism and all the rest of it, the rest of the world practices this. You know, here in Japan, if I were to say, you know, Japan would be greatly improved if you had, let's say, 20 million Africans, well, they'd probably look at me very politely and think, I just lost my mind. I mean, it just wouldn't compute. It's, well, it wouldn't be Japanese anymore. Well, exactly the point. And that is, of course, the mental jiggery pokery that's being pulled on us in Canada, the United States, Australia, and Europe, that much of our ruling class have bought into this, that we must be diverse and multicultural. None of the rest of the world believes that. Even places that admire American, music and things like that. They like the music and the technology and all that. But they wouldn't want, you know, hypothetically 100 million Americans to move in.
And Paul, you know, you raise a key point. You just made me think of this. This is great. The Japanese, 100 years from now, folks, Japan, I guarantee you, will be Japan. It will look Japanese. It will speak Japanese, and it will be the Japanese racial ethnic group that inhabits all of the Japanese islands. It'll be just the way it is right now. I can promise you that, because they don't let aliens into their country to settle or to live as citizens. And, Paul, it just occurred to me, they have a very low birth rate, a very low fertility rate in China. I think it's way below 2.0.
In China or Japan?
In Japan.
Yeah. Well, yes. This is a It's a nightmare. In fact,
but Paul, here's the point I want to get to. This is just it's just a flash for me. And Ayla, of course, here is Ayla. You're making the point. Of course, we need to have more kids. But yes. The Japanese, Japan will still look Japanese, folks. It will still be Japanese in spite of a declining population, in spite of a below replacement birth rate, because they have a border. And as Donald Trump has said, a nation without a border is not a nation. And so Japan will remain great. They won't have to make it great again. It will simply continue to be a great country because they will not, whatever their population is, they will not let some other people dispossess them and take over their land. It's an interesting insight, Paul. You actually don't need to have a high fertility rate to preserve your nation. You'd simply have to have borders.
Yes, and there's of course a lot of discussions with environmentalists who say, well, we can't have endlessly increasing population, even if it is all of our own people. And there possibly is the solution. As long as you've got good borders, even if the indigenous population declines a little bit, it's not the end of the world. I noticed in the Japan Times yesterday that there are the fewest number of children under 14 in Japan since 1954. The birth rate is very, very low and very, very worrisome to the Japanese government, and probably rightly so. And the figures are even worse because in 1954, Japan was a nation, I think, of about 120 million. I think today it's about 150. So when the absolute numbers are lower than they were in 54, it's even worse because they're low from a larger, population pool.
But the interesting, the interesting thing, Paul, this is sort of just, Kelso's a little light bulb went off in Kelso's head here. This isn't necessarily a catastrophe. In other words, if a population of white people follows the advice of, who was that guy who wrote the population bomb? Paul Ehrlich. He was an idiot, folks. But if America's white population went from 200 million white folks in America to 180 million, that would not be the end of the world as long as America remained white. If Sweden goes from 10 million white Swedes to 8 million white Swedes, that's not a catastrophe for Sweden. Sweden is still Sweden. On the other hand, if Sweden goes from 10 million white Swedes to 20 million Swedes, 10 million of whom are from Africa, that's a catastrophe from which you can't recover.
No, they're no longer Sweden. And that's the central point that we have to get across. I was encouraged to hear what you said about the visit of the Australian Prime Minister, because one thing that I think we've admired about Donald Trump almost from the get-go is that he's a reader. He knows a lot about history, even though they try to portray him as a buffoon.
Yes, he is. And William Bennett, former Secretary of Education, that was his comment when he heard about Donald Trump's reading list. He said, "Whoa, this guy's a thinker. I didn't realize that." I'll tell you what the fertility rate in Canada. The fertility rate is 1.6, and I'm looking for the distinctive Japanese flag. In Japan, it's 1.4, so that's way below replacement. But
but not much worse than Canada. And we're both Japan and Canada and the United States are better than almost all our comrades in Europe, except perhaps France. I think France is about 1.5. Many of the other European countries are hovering around 1, including nations that used to be so procreative, like Italy and traditionally very Catholic Ireland.
Yeah, and folks, what's the fertility rate in Niger, in Africa? 7. Seven. In Somalia, it's 6. In Mali, it's 6. In Chad, it's 6. In Angola, it's 6. In the Democratic Republic of the Congo, which is neither, 6. So you can't bring those populations in with a fertility rate of 6 and 7 in with yours at 1.5 and have anything other than a complete catastrophe. And, you know, we're running out of time, so I want to be Ayla Stewart there in southern Utah. Is your baby still with you, Ayla?
No, he's with his daddy right now.
Well, this is, you know, wonderful to have you on the air. You know, a white mom of six, boldly proclaiming to the politically correct this common sense. It's beautiful to contemplate.
Good for you, Ayla. Good for you.
Thank you so much.
All righty, folks. Sorry for the short show, but we'll see you again on Sunday for a longer 3-hour show, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. See you then.
I'll catch you Monday. I'll be in the air on Sunday.
Okay. All righty.
Okay. Bye.
Don't stop.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.